Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany. These are some of the stories we've lined up for you. The West African nation of Benin goes to the poll in a presidential election. Journalist Katerina Vitozzi tells us voting was peaceful.
Well, it's certainly been an election which has been carried out very peacefully. Both the campaign, the 2 weeks leading up to the vote, happened very peacefully. On Sunday, voting stations across the country, no security issues. People were calmly waiting to cast their vote.
Benin's outgoing president, Thomas Boni Yayi, says leaving office after his 2 5-year terms is a feather on the cap of the country's democracy.
With my exit, our democracy takes a step forward after 2 5-year terms. It's a step more according to the standards of our constitution. Dear fellow citizens, I leave you with this republic. I leave you with Benin, its institutions, and national unity.
Welcome to this edition of Africa Link on Monday, March the 7th. My name is Abubakar Jallo. Stay tuned.
Top story.
The West African nation of Benin went to the polls on Sunday to vote for a new president. Current President Thomas Boni Yayi is bowing out after serving 2 5-year terms, as stated in the constitution. 33 candidates are vying for the presidency, and political analysts predict no decisive result. In a moment, I will be speaking to journalist Katerina Vitozzi in Cotonou. But first, let's hear the statement from outgoing President Boni Yayi.
Avec mon départ, notre démocratie fait un pas de plus après les deux quinquennats conformément à nos dispositions constitutionnelles.
With my exit, our democracy takes a step forward after 2 5-year terms. It's a step more according to the standards of our constitution. We are taking the footsteps of President Mathieu Kérékou. Benin is one of the great democracies of this planet. Dear fellow citizens, I leave you with this republic. I leave you with Benin, its institutions, and national unity. I did everything I could, and thank God for everything. May God bless you. Respect the will of the people. My fellow citizens, the future for me is in God's hands. I have confidence in you, the members of the Electoral Commission, the representatives of the parties, and even the candidates themselves. Shows ethics and morality. It's about our country. In Benin, we want to give a certain international reputation. We had the satisfaction to promote this democracy so that everyone can follow the path of peace, stability, and prosperity.
President Thomas Boni Yayi is speaking to DW after casting his vote on Sunday. Now, voting began at 6 in the morning with international observers assessing the atmosphere as very calm and relaxed. In spite of this, there were concerns about the distribution of voter IDs that forced the election to be delayed by a week. Katerina Vitozzi, a journalist covering the elections, joins me now from the commercial capital, Cotonou. Katerina, did this delay affect the elections?
Well, it's certainly been an issue right up until the very final hours before this presidential poll. You were quite right. There was massive problems. The presidential poll was actually delayed by a week because it was taking such a long time to distribute and print these voter ID cards. And just before the country went to the poll, a decision was made by the Electoral Commission that people who hadn't received their new voter ID cards, they were going to be allowed to vote with election cards from last year's parliamentary elections. Now, that means that people who didn't think they were actually going to be able to vote did have that opportunity. But because it was such a last-minute decision, it did take some time for that information to filter through. It has caused some confusion, but the Electoral Commission have just tried to make and create rules that would allow as many voters as possible to come to the polls today.
So with all those disturbances that you were talking about, what are observers saying about the conduct of the elections?
Well, it's certainly been an election which has been carried out very peacefully. Both the campaign weeks, the 2 weeks leading up to the vote, happened very peacefully. On Sunday, voting stations across the country, no security issues. There was people were calmly waiting to cast their vote. A civil society group of observers did note that around 30% of polling stations in the country did open late, but those delays were not more than a couple of hours, and voting times were extended on the other side of the voting day in order to compensate for that late opening time.
Now, so who is favourite to win this election?
There are incredibly 33 candidates vying to take over from the outgoing president. Now, amongst those, there are five who have been really standing out. You've got political old guard meeting new faces from the business world in particular. You've got the current Prime Minister, Lionel Zinsou. He is the real leading that pack of favourites at the moment. He's come out as a strong contender who's received a lot of financial backing and a lot of visible support across the country. Chasing him, though, are some favourites. Sébastien Adjavant, a billionaire businessman who made his fortune here by exporting frozen chickens. However, analysts do predict that there will be no outright winner in this first round and that the election will be heading towards a second round poll later this month.
Katharina Vitozzi speaking from Cotonou.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
To South Sudan now, where the United Nations is accusing the government of President Salva Kiir and rebels loyal to Riek Machar of blocking food supplies from reaching thousands of people caught in areas under fighting. The rebels have denied preventing the trucks from entering the areas under their control. The government, however, admitted stopping the trucks, but said they are doing so for security reasons. Shem Shimayula has more.
More than 1 million people in South Sudan are in dire need of food, according to the United Nations. But the government, the troops and the rebels have refused to let trucks laden with the food supplies into various parts of the country. Ariane Quintia is the UN's spokesperson in South Sudan.
The World Food Programme wants to preposition food. They are doing airdrop, which is very costly and not as efficient as a convoy. All the humanitarian services are being hindered by the lack of access for people who need assistance.
The UN says the people caught in the conflict zones have been mainly relying on aid agencies for food, clean water and health care. Deputy Rebel Spokesman Major Dickson Gatluak denies accusations that their troops are preventing aid trucks from entering the areas they control.
It is the government that has been trying to block the humanitarian to deliver the services.
The Juba government, however, admits it is preventing the trucks for security reasons. Michael Makuei is the information minister.
Our security first. We are in a security situation. We will not just allow any convoy to move. You remember last time when we apprehended convoy which was taking relief, we apprehended was armed.
In March 2014, government troops intercepted 11 UN trucks allegedly carrying undocumented weapons. The UN's Ghanaian contingent said the trucks were heading to their base in the northern part of the country, but Juba claimed the rifles were not typically issued by the UN. That incident cast a shadow on the work of the UN in South Sudan and is now affecting all humanitarian efforts in the war-torn nation. Charles McDonough is the World Food Programme WFP spokesperson for East, Central and Southern Africa. McDonough says WFP is also having trouble reaching people in areas still under fighting.
There is access problem throughout the country and by all parties. So you can talk about the region of Upper Nile, you can talk about the region of Jonglei, you can talk about the region of Unity, of Western Barrigazad, of Equatoria.
The conflict in South Sudan began in December 2013 after an armed power struggle between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar. More than tens of thousands have been killed and over 2.3 million displaced.
James Shimayula reporting. Zimbabwe's former Vice President Joyce Mujuru has been speaking to DW about her reasons for forming a new political party. On the 1st of March, Mujuru announced the launch of Zimbabwe People's First Party to challenge her former boss, veteran leader Robert Mugabe. She said the incumbent ZANU-PF party has failed to live up to the dreams of the independence struggle. Like Mugabe, Mujuru was part of the struggle for independence in the 1970s and served in the ZANU-PF government for over a decade. In this interview, Mujuru tells DW's Privileged Mushaniri her aspirations for the country's leadership.
People first felt their aspirations were never to be realized because of how the rule of law was being flouted. And people felt the revolution was now being forgotten, buried, and freedom fighters were now angry with that. One thing you should know is whatever is being pronounced by Zimbabwe People First is to do with the struggle, which shows we are reminding ZANU-PF that you have missed the boat. You have lost it all.
Why should Zimbabweans believe in your party and vote for you to be the next president?
It's not my party. It's the people's party. This party is now made up of former MDC, former ZANU-PF, those who have never joined any political party. Those who are of your age who would have voted 3-4 times now. They are joining this party because we are now understanding each other. And I'm now telling them that no, some of these things that have been happening in ZANU-PF are not the true ZANU-PF ideals and values. They are not. Our values and ideals are not for beating up people. The people themselves is our value. That's the core value of this country.
You were part of a system that you are now calling an unjust system.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. How do you answer for the role that you also played for the years that you were part of it?
You are in an administration. It doesn't mean whatever happens in that administration, every one of you, you are in agreement. As much as I was there as part of the administration, it was also a learning curve. Mind you, I was there as a young person. I was there as a person who was also being given almost like induction. But you are being inducted whilst bad things are happening. And you are seeing that this is not good. We should do these things this way. And I want to see those good things happening in people first.
Some are saying that, you know, you are a bit soft on your former boss, on President Mugabe. How do you respond to that?
We are not in a fighting mood as people first. We told you we don't promote hate speech. We told you we don't retaliate. In my culture, you don't raise a finger to a man or to a woman who is your mother or your grandfather's age. It's spiritual. It's now a living spirit. We are lucky to have him alive. He's now, if you want to talk to your departed great-grandfathers, you talk to them through him. And you don't have to wrong him because at his age, he is now to sit there and just be respected as a living spirit. That's all. So when you see me not even destabilizing him, I don't want to destabilize a living spirit.
Joyce Mujuru, founder of Zimbabwe People First Party. And it's time to hand you over to the crime fighters in this episode of Learning by Ear.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Crime Fighters, Land of Chongwe, a radio drama on land grabbing in Africa. In the last episode, flower farm worker Pambo called the police. He informed them that he and his friend Zimari had found the body of Awombo. Remember, Awombo is their revered chief who had been missing for several days. While the police were on their way to the flower farm, Pambo and Zimari changed their minds and fled the scene. Let's dive straight into this third episode entitled Looking for Clues. It begins on the riverbank where the country's intelligence chief, Zamba, Inspector Wamto, and Chief Pathologist Binti are examining the body of Chief Awombo.
Binti, are you sure? Are you sure the chief is 100% dead?
I'm positive. He's gone.
And from what I can tell, he must have been killed several days ago.
What? Binti, did you say killed? How do you know that? We haven't done any investigations yet.
Zamba, that's just my initial conclusion. See these marks around here? And here. Someone must have strangled the chief with something like a wire or a thin rope.
You mean these marks here?
Hey, Zamba, what are you doing? Don't touch the body with your bare hands. You of all people know how important it is not to tamper with evidence. It's the only way we can find out
how
the...
Don't you dare tell me how to do my job. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Zamba, crystal clear.
Good. Inspector Mwamto.
Yes, sir?
I want your men to take the chief's body to the military morgue in the capital. We'll conduct the post-mortem there. Meanwhile, I want the names of all the workers on this flower farm. I want them sent home immediately and the farm shut down until we finish our investigation.
But what about the public? What do we tell them? Should we say that the chief was murdered, as pathologist Binti says, and we are carrying out our investigations?
We'll do nothing of that sort. Are you out of your mind? Admitting the chief was assassinated could have far-reaching consequences. You know how much the Chongoyans respected him. Revealing that he was murdered could lead to lootings, the destruction of property, maybe even more loss of life. Do you want to have to deal with that scenario, Inspector?
No, sir, I don't.
I thought not. Now, this is what we'll do. Pathologist Binti will prepare a statement that the chief was attacked by wild animals and that they dragged him to the river, where he was found. Don't forget to say that the government is deeply sorry and offers to bury the chief with all the honor he deserves.
But Zamba, I can't do that. We'd be lying to those we've sworn to protect and serve.
This is a matter of national security. Chief Awombo was a very controversial and divisive figure. He was fiercely opposed to the eviction of the Chongoyan people from this very land where he now lies dead.
Sir, I'm ready to carry out your orders.
Good. What about you, Binti? Do you wish to disobey my orders? You know the consequences of disobeying orders. I don't need to remind you, do I?
Okay. Okay, no more threats. I'll do what you've ordered.
That's what I call teamwork. All right, everybody, let's get to work. I want this entire area combed and any evidence you find must be brought directly to me.
Listen up, please, silence. Dear Chongwe residents, I, Mweri, as head of the non-governmental organization Land for All, wish to express my shock and sadness at the sudden death of Chief Awombo. I share your anger and I share your grief and pain, but I kindly request all of you to please ensure that your grief does not lead you to break the law. Listen up. This is our message to this government. We want the truth about how Chief Awombo died. We need answers, and we need them now. The chief's sudden disappearance and death leads me to believe there could be more to this than the government wants us to believe.
We want nothing but the truth.
I'm requesting that you, Chongwe residents, give me your permission to open a private investigation into the disappearance and death of our beloved Chief Awombo.
Yes!
I take that as a yes. Now, I kindly ask if any one of you knows anything or saw anything that might help to solve the mystery of our chief's death. Please, share this information with me.
Madam Mweri, can I please have your microphone?
Certainly, Inspector Mwamto. It's good to see you too.
Spare me your sarcasm, Mweri.
Ladies and gentlemen, this demonstration is over. Please go back to your homes for your own safety.
What? You just can't do that. This protest is entirely legal. We haven't done anything wrong.
I repeat, This demonstration is over. Please go home for your own safety. This is my final warning.
This is ridiculous. Give me back my microphone.
Congratulations, Mweri. Just earned yourself the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used against you in a court of law.
This is a joke, right? What exactly am I being arrested for?
Yeah, why?
Inciting the public, causing public disorder, attacking a police officer. Shall I go on? So please, I beg you, go home.
Till we get the truth.
Guys, he's serious, eh?
Zumari, we have to do something. We can't let them take Mweri away. Let's tell the police that we found the chief's body.
Bambo,
you saw what just happened to Mweri. She's someone who knows the law very well. She's been a private detective for years, yet they arrested her in broad daylight. Imagine what they'll do to us if we tell them what we know. But don't you think people need to know what really happened? And that this story our leaders are telling, that the chief was mauled by animals, is all lies?
Shh, not so loud.
You never know who's listening. And don't worry about Mweri. She'll be fine. She knows how to defend herself.
Oh, damn it. What does Zomba want now? I don't have any more leads on Chief Awombo's death. Hello, sir.
What do you have for me on the chief's death?
So far, nothing much, sir. I arrested Mweri, the private investigator who's also an activist against land grabbing. She was leading a demonstration in Chongwe, but I had to release her because she hadn't actually committed a crime.
What else?
Apart from that, we are waiting for the autopsy report so we know whether to treat this as a murder investigation or accidental death, killing by animals, as the government sees it at the moment.
You're waiting for the autopsy? Inspector, weren't you with me at the crime scene when we saw the body?
Yes, sir, I was present.
And what did you think? Did it look to you as if the chief had been killed by an animal?
No, sir, but that's the government's position.
Inspector, use your brains. The public mustn't know it, but this is a murder investigation. Okay? Chief Awombo was killed by someone or by some people. And it's your job to find out who. Now, what about the man who found the body? Have you traced his number?
It appears the number is no longer in use, sir.
Damn it.
With that outburst from Zamba, we end this third episode of Land of Chongwe. Now that the private detective Mweri is on the scent, will she continue to search for the truth about Awombo's death? What do Pambo and Zumari intend to do? We'll find out in the next episode. Visit our webpage dw.com/crimefighters to listen to this episode or to previous ones. And while you're online, please share your comments on this series on our Facebook page. Until next time, goodbye.
And before we leave you, a quick summary of the main stories. The West African nation of Benin went to the polls on Sunday to vote for a new president. Current President Thomas Boni Yayi is bowing out after serving 2 5-year terms. The United Nations is accusing the South Sudanese government and rebels of blocking food aid for thousands of people caught in areas under fighting. And there we come to the end of this broadcast. You can contact us by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to +49 160 957 59510. I am Abubakar Jallo in Bonn. Bye now.